Yo, what's the word? What's the deal? We in the spill. It's your boy me Don, and you already know what's going on. We got your boy Phil with me. How you doing, fam?
I'm doing great, man. Just came back from the gym not too long ago, so your boy a little tired, but I got some energy for the pod.
Nah, Phil had your boy waiting, man. You know how that go. I ain't too mad on though. We got health as well. Health as
Health
well.
is well, appreciate that.
Yes, sir. You know, we got an action-packed episode for you guys today, you know. We're gonna talk about a lot of things that's going on, you know what I'm saying? And we're gonna kind of just basically break down some of the biggest news, you know. Me and Phil being, well, from Florida, you know, he's a Maryland boy now, but college basketball, national championship. We have a national champion being the Florida Gators, who had a tremendous season, 35-4 season, man, just coming off one of the best seasons they had in a while. Shoot, since Billy Donovan was the coach almost now, but ended up taking down Houston, who also had a really good, you know, college basketball championship as well. But they lost the 2 points to Florida Gators, 65-63, man. Phil, where were you at watching the game? You was at the crib, or you just kind of just chilling?
You know me, bro. I was not watching the game. I was chilling.
Yeah.
But I was in tune with it. I was keeping track of stuff and just monitoring the situation. So I can't really say I'm happy Florida won. You know, coming from my football side of things, I'm not really a Florida fan. But at the same time, SEC, SEC.
Yeah, man, you gotta say root for the SEC, bro. You can't
You
root
do
for
root for the
Florida.
SEC.
You know, I root for anything in Florida, so I just, you know, that's how I kind of get my
That's
opinion.
true. That's true. We ride with that. We cool with that.
Yeah, man, but it was definitely a great game. Definitely a game of ebbs and flows. Houston came in kind of just being the more defensive-oriented team, beat a lot of good teams, should beat one of my favorite teams. You know, we ain't gonna talk too much about that. But like I said, this is Florida's first national championship since 2007. I want to say that was Al Horford's team, actually. The team with Al Horford, Joakim, all them. So yeah, man, like I say, the first half was kind of like a dog fight. You know, I think the physicality really kind of like took Florida, you know, off their pivot a little bit. Like I say, young light-skinned brother. Let me forget his name. Clayton, yeah, the one who cosplays Steph Curry. Him, he's the goods, but like I say, the physicality kind of got him, caught him off guard. I could tell at first, didn't really have a good first half, even ended up getting benched for a little bit, didn't play too much. But yeah, no, I ended up getting with 11.7 assists and definitely kind of made his impact in the second half. But yeah, man, like just from your opinion, you know, this is because this is not like the usual, you know, national championship game that we'll get, you know, not really too many blue bloods in this. Now that I'm thinking about it, Blue Bloods haven't really been too many national championships the past couple of years, other than Kansas. So I don't
So
know.
let me pause you. Can I pause you right there? For myself in particular, and any viewer that we have that's listening, tell us what a blue blood is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course we gotta make sure we describe things properly. So the Blue Bloods are kind of like the more so the teams that kind of build up the college basketball program. So you have the Kentuckys, you have the Kansas, you have the Dukes, and you have the North Carolinas. Those are, I guess, maybe the four pillars of the Blue Bloods. Those are the teams that were, you know, kind of dominated the early stages of college basketball. But obviously, as the landscape changes, you know, you have NILs, you have these programs that are built in different from these football programs. You know, nowadays it's kind of a wider scope as far as teams that are kind of able to get to the national championship game. So that's Blue Blood. Thank you for letting me write that down. But
I
yeah, from your
appreciate that.
vantage
Appreciate
point,
that.
from your vantage point, like, I guess, how do you feel like about the parity and things like that? Even you being an Alabama fan, shoot, how their programs kind of just came up, you know, these past couple of years. How you, I guess, feel about the parity now in college basketball?
It's interesting. It's interesting because I'll tell you my football side of it, and I'll tell you what I've seen on college basketball. In football, like our good friend Hanzo, for example, you know, he was saying, you know, it's good that these powerful teams got to play fair now. And I tell him that's not true, right? The only people who are hurt by this are the teams at the bottom. And the only people who benefit were the teams that were in the middle. You know, like
Right.
guys, you know, lower level teams like a Marshall, for example, a guy might have a great season, but he has no reason to stay. Like, I just had a great year. I don't need to declare for the draft yet. I'm gonna transfer for a bag at a bigger program. I'm gonna transfer to
Right.
a Penn State. I'm gonna transfer to, you know, to a bigger school, to a University of Missouri, to, you know, to a Mississippi State. right? That SEC money, right? That Big Ten money. You know what I mean? Like, the guys at the bottom get hurt, and the teams at the top, they continue to remain at the top. Like, we got to think about who just won a national championship. You know, it was Ohio State, right? And I promise you, Ohio State is not going to get worse next year, right? They will retain all their talent. And if they don't retain talent, they will bring in more from those lower level teams. And that's what these teams will continue to do. Ohio State, Alabama, right? Michigan, like these big schools, these big names, you know, they'll do the same thing. It's just teams at the bottom get hurt. But the benefit is that the teams in the middle, right? They also benefit because they get to take away from the teams at the bottom as well. So we have way more good teams, way more competitive teams. It's just that those guys at the very bottom that don't have the funding to support NIL, you know, their programs have no future, because any future that do have get plucked away like almost immediately. So that's one thing. And what I've seen in college basketball, I believe I saw the head coach of Grambling, I want to say it was, I believe he did an interview, and he was talking about how, you know, you have a guy that's a freshman or a sophomore and he just had a great year, he's gone.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. You can't build longevity at your program because these guys come in, you spend all this effort to recruit them, you get 25 scholarships, you use all of them, bring in 25 guys that you know, and you expect to have maybe 15 of them for 3 years, you know, maybe five of them for four. But they're gone. You just lost half of them in one portal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like how do you build? You know, how do you build a program if you're a smaller school? So the parity, I think, is there. You know, like I think I saw a couple of guys leave the day they lost in March. Like, they transferred same day they was gone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's crazy to me. Like, you just lost the game and you gone already,
bro. Like, you went back to the. It's gonna get worse with the whole with them thinking about taking the one and done out.
Exactly. They're thinking about taking that away. They took away JUCO. Like, JUCO doesn't count against your eligibility anymore, so guys could be in college for 6 years, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
get a job, bro.
At some point, you got to get a job. But I mean, at the same time, I respect the grind. I respect the effort. And, you know, I don't think JUCO should count. So I like that they have that flexibility. But at the same time, I think there needs to be some type of restrictions in place. Still get paid, still have freedom to transfer. But like DJ Ugalele, I believe, was it DJ Ugalele that played for FSU? No, yeah, he played for FSU this past year. Like, that man, he transferred too much. You know, he transferred too much, but transferred to Oregon State, then played for Oregon and transferred to FSU the very next offseason. Like, I don't think that should be allowed, man. I think you get one free transfer, then you got to play at that program for 2 years at least, and then you can leave again. That's what I think it should be. But whatever, that's a different argument.
No, for sure. And I get it. Like I say, it kind of just creates just like a bad habit just from like a athlete standpoint, you know, just kind of just feeling the need to just, when things don't work your way, kind of skipping that step with adversity, you know? And I feel like that, whether people want to believe it or not, you can look at it as good business. You can look at it as, you know, being right by yourself. But that, I feel like that adversity kind of just builds athletes, that builds people, pros, if I get what I'm saying. Because if I can just go and quit and just do whatever, just go somewhere else when things are not going my way, that kind of defeats the purpose of sports, in my opinion. But yeah, like you say, that's just kind of just a topic that can kind of go on forever when it comes to that. This was actually a very historic national championship game in a lot of ways. The third team to come back from a 12-point deficit in the national championship game ever. Todd Golden, who was 39 years old, becomes the youngest coach to win an NCAA title since North Carolina in 1983. And this is the first team in the modern era. This is a crazy one. And this kind of relates back to that. The first team in the modern era of college basketball to win a national title without a single top 100 recruit.
That is crazy. That's not something you really expect.
No, not at all. So kind of goes to your point, like, those are dudes who kind of got out the mud, you know, who kind of were able to kind of get to that point by hard work, you know, kind of following suit, good coaching. So I think it's good for the game, you know, to see a team like that win. You know, shout out to the Florida Gators. You know, like I say, I rep everything Florida. So
that's
respectable. Good. Yeah, man. Plus, you know, they slid for us. They slid for Duke. So shout out to Florida.
You don't want to talk about Duke, bro? You don't want to talk about Duke in the pod?
I don't, man. I mean, briefly, we can talk about Cooper Flagg. I mean, we don't got to talk about dude. Like I say, that
nah, would we ain't going to talk about no Flagg. Flagg going to get his episode, bro, at draft time.
Flagg going to get his episode?
Flagg going to get his episode.
Shout out to Flagg, though. I will say Flagg, he bought out, though. He missed the last shot. He definitely bought out. Shoot, 27 against those heathens. Mm-hmm. I gotta give him his credit, but
I got a question for you.
Oh, talk to me, Jenny.
So at pod, I don't know if I mentioned this. Also, I don't know if Madon mentioned it earlier when he introduced the pod, but we are recording on the 8th of April. My birthday was the 3rd, by the way. So happy birthday to me.
happy birthday to Philly, please, yes, sir.
But yeah, the 8th of April on a Tuesday, so we are doing that. But my question for you, Don, as someone who, you know, I'm not an avid college basketball watcher. Right, I'm a football guy. I watch college football, I watch NFL, I watch baseball, but not college basketball. Kevin, I believe his name is Kevin Sampson, the coach Houston.
Yeah, correct.
I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, this would have been his first chip. Talk to me about him. Like they're making that a big deal. You know, like I'm hearing he's a legendary coach. I'm hearing his dad was also a legendary coach, and his dad fought off the KKK. Like, you know anything about that?
Oh, I'm not even gonna lie, not too much. I did hear about his dad and kind of how you know, how revolutionary his dad was. Actually, I don't know if you remember that thing Jarrell put in the chat about how he has a clause in his contract to where if he has a son, his son could also become a coach.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like I say, like he kind of has a extensive kind of like track record. He turned around a lot of programs. He was at Montana Tech. I want to say he was at Oklahoma too. I don't think he was there when Trae Young was there, but and he actually kind of was did a couple stand in NBA, but yeah, no, definitely a solid coach. I ain't like how he was talking after he beat us, not gonna lie, but you know what I'm saying. But now respect to brother though, you know what I'm saying.
I did see them interviews. Yeah,
he was talking real choppy, but you know, we gonna say that for another time. We gonna respect the brother today, but he's built that program very efficiently, you know. Like I say, they've been in the Elite Eight, I want to say, these past 4 or 5 years. So they, like I say, obviously have something going. Yeah, he obviously is building that program up. Obviously it hurts to lose a national championship game any year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of finds his way back. Like I say, he's very passionate coach. He's been around the game for a while. His family's been around the game. So yeah, shout out to him though, even though he was talking crazy. Shout out to him.
Yeah, real quick, I just looked it up. Yeah, Kevin Sampson, he grew up in a segregated area. Like, he had water fountains that were labeled colored and white and other, and bathrooms, too. And
I mean, he's an older coach. He's like 69.
Yeah, he's 60. Very old coach. 60. Yeah, he's 60-something. Yeah, so that's crazy to me. I didn't know that. I only found out about that recently. Like, this man, daddy was fighting the KKK, and that's wild. But we ain't going to get into that on the pod too much.
That is wild though. That's something to think about. That's something to think about. You've seen generations of different things with that one.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But talk to me, bro. What we got next?
Man, you know, we gotta go. We gonna keep it hoop. You already know, but this time we've seen kind of how the pros is shaping up. Man, we got something around the corner. Actually, next weekend, if you want to keep it real, NFL playoffs. I mean, NBA playoffs,
NBA.
Definitely not NFL.
There you go.
Yeah. Appreciate you. But yes, you know, we got NBA playoffs starting in literally about 2 weeks, a week and a half, if you want to be politically correct. And man, everything's kind of shaping up for most teams. Obviously, you got a lot of teams still battling for contention. To be honest, it's still, there's at least 8 teams that hasn't solidified playoff contention yet, which is actually kind of insane if you really think about it. But yeah, man, like I say, things are shaping up. You got the East kind of being the East. Cavs been dominating all year. Their best season since 2009 when they had Lee James. You got the Celtics being the Celtics. You know, a lot of surprise teams in the East. You know, the Pistons and the Magic kind of just showing their spark. Hawks have been on a pretty decent run, even though they're under 500. They've been kind of able to solidify that AC. So I guess we can kind of start with the East, you know. Like I say, Cavs is leading the pack, but Celtics is like 4 games behind.
The rest of the East teams finalized, just the order now.
Yeah, well, no, I think the Pistons clinched. Oh, yeah, they did clinch.
Yeah, everybody clinched in the East. It's just the order. Like, Magic, a couple teams can still rise.
I don't think Magic
up.
And Hawks clinched. Oh, well, you're talking about
they clinched. Yeah, they clinched. Yeah, now everybody clinched 1 through 10, like 1 through 6 for the playoffs, and then 7 through 10 for the play-in, all clinched.
Oh, so it's just the West then, where it's just a little sticky.
The West, and only 2 people have clinched.
But like I said, we're gonna get into that. But as far as the East standpoint, kind of like I say, you know, how do you, I guess, feel like things are shaping up? Obviously, we have the dominant forces up top with the Cavs and, you know, the reigning champ Boston. But how do you kind of just feel like the East rounding the playoffs round up? To be honest, I have a hot take, but I think the East playoffs is going to be a lot of good bump. If matchups kind of play out how they think they are,
yeah,
I think it's going to be some really good bump in the East playoffs. But what do you think about it?
Nah, I think it's interesting. So I'm glad you brought up the Cavs at the beginning. And, you know, I'll start with the top here. But them guys been on a weird little losing streak. You know what I mean? Like they're not actually. As I say that, they literally just clinched the conference, like just now. Like they just beat the Bulls and clinched the conference. So they have secured the number one seed in the East finally. But in recent weeks, right? They've been losing games that you didn't really expect them to lose, like from running away with, like they were clear cut favorites to clinch the conference and potentially have the best record in the NBA to kind of faltering down the stretch. Now I could attribute it to like, you know, them boys, they already got 60 wins, right? They already got 55 plus wins. You know, maybe they slumping a little bit. But I don't think you want to go into the playoffs slumping. So,
right.
What do you make of that?
I don't put too much stock into it because OKC have kind of been having a little skid as well. Kind of lost to some teams recently. I think that comes naturally. Like I wouldn't penalize those guys completely because I feel like when you're so comfortably at top, naturally at the end of the season, you're gonna kind of like maybe not approach certain games with the same energy. But obviously it's good to kind of build up those habits going into the playoffs because you don't want that to linger. Like like how I mentioned for as far as like the Celtics are rolling at the perfect time, you know. Other than that game against the Heat, you know, like you were saying, they're 9-1 in their last 10.
Yep.
And they've been picking up steam, you know what I'm saying, trying to get a good comfortable flow and rhythm going, kind of working out the kinks. Jaylen Brown trying to get back up to speed. He hasn't had the best season this year. Jason Tatum, number-wise, no, but play-wise, has probably had one of his best seasons just as far as, like, impact, things like that on both ends. And yeah, bro, like I said, a lot of these teams are kind of rounding up the speed at the right time. The Pacers, they've been looking really good lately. Giannis has been backpacking like crazy, so he's been trying to, I guess, get up to speed. Hawks have been playing really good basketball, so... I always feel like it's good to play your best basketball leading into the playoffs because they build that momentum, build that flow. Because, especially when it comes to a 7-game series and you see a team 4 times out of 7, it can kind of, you know what I'm saying, be the difference in a lot. So, like I say, I'm interested. A lot of these matchups are interesting. Like I said, they do set up right now. So, for people listening, you got the Cavs at 1, Celtics at 2, Knicks at 3, Pacers at 4. Bucks at 5, Pistons 6, Magic 7, Hawks 8. So, hypothetically, I forgot we got include playing. Yes, Bulls 9, Heat 10. So, initially, out of the first round, if things kind of were to, like, I guess, stay this, and let's just say the Bulls and Heat don't make it, you never know, they might end up making it. But what, I guess, matchup would kind of intrigue you the most out of that first round matchup? Because, you know, 1 play 8, 3 play 6, 2 play 7, 4 play 5. What do you think?
Honestly, it all depends on where the dices fall, right? But the Magic could potentially be the 8th seed. Because if they, so the plan, right? You know, we got a question about the plan in our question and answer section at the end. So we'll get into it a bit more then. But, the Magic, if they lose to the Hawks and then they beat the winner of 9 and 10, they'll be the 8th seed, right? Sorry, I'm wording that wrong. If the Magic...
I was going to say, they'll still be 7.
No, they'll be 8. If they lose
if to they the Hawks, Hawks...
Yeah, if they lose to the Hawks, the Hawks will be 7.
Oh, they lose to the Hawks.
Yeah, so it don't... Forget that part for a second. I had it wrong. But whether they finish 7 or 8 and they got to play the Cavs or the Celtics... I'm very, 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 and I mean very intrigued about whatever matchup they have in the first round. Now, They started out the year kind of hot and they were playing really good basketball. Then the injuries kind of messed their team up. And then when Paulo came back, things also weren't as firm, you know, or clicking like you wanted it to. But as of late, the boys are 7-3 in their last 10, and they're currently up 11 points, 3 minutes to go in the fourth on the Hawks. They've been playing really good basketball, and Paulo has been hooping crazy out of his mind, in recent games. So
I want to say he averaged 30 since the All-Star break.
Something crazy. And we know, right? We know that when it comes to opponent points per game, there's not a team in the NBA that is better. Not a single one. Right? They hold opponents to the fewest points per game in the entire NBA. You know what I mean? They play prison basketball. They also don't score a lot, though. They have the lowest offensive points per game in the NBA. So they don't score, but you're not scoring either. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to play through the whistle, especially when we get to that playoff whistle, you know, where the game slows down, the refs don't call as many calls, and you got to play through contact, you got to play through physicality. Can the Cavs or the Celtics, you know, I think they're going to give them a test, whoever they play in that first round, whether it's the Cavs or the C's, if they make it through the play-in, I should say, because they can, you know, they can be completely eliminated. But I just think that'd be an interesting matchup, man, for both of those teams, especially the Cavs, right? The Cavs don't have as much shooting like the Celtics do, you know, to shoot themselves out of trouble. They deal with a lot of drives and cuts, right? The Magic are very built to stop drives and cuts and protect the paint. So that would be a very interesting matchup, I think, in the first round. That's the matchup I found interesting.
No, for sure. I mean, to be honest, it's going to sound crazy. I think they match the Magic, if they stay at 7, they match up better with the Celtics than they do with the Cavs. They match up actually really good with both teams, but I think they match up actually pretty good with the Celtics. I still pick the Celtics, but like that could be an interesting series with the size, with the length, with, you know, how they kind of like, they can't really funnel too much. They can play 5 out. You know, Wendell can go out and guard a Porzingis on the perimeter and things like that. So that would be actually an interesting 2-7. I'm not even going to lie to you. I ain't lie. I think the Cavs would dog walk the Hawks, though. If they like, yeah. Like,
the Hawks or the Magic?
No, like the Cavs would dog walk the Hawks. Like embarrassing. Yeah. Like I think they would like win every game by 20. With respect to the Hawks, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I kind of feel you on that front. I'm honestly interested in this Knicks and Pistons series. That's like a very intriguing series to me. That might be my favorite first round series in the East. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of like contrast styles a little bit. Yeah. You know, Knicks are an offensive oriented team. They play defense, but this year they kind of hung their hat on scoring the ball. Pistons rough around the edges. K kind of hyper creating a lot for their team, shoot the basketball really decent. Physical team though, they play very physical. They play very, what's the word I'm looking for? They play very, you know, I guess you could gritty, say, man. Obnoxious, very, yeah, like get under your skin basketball.
They're trying to embody that 90s Piston.
2004
Yeah, the early 2000s Pistons, you know, the bad boy Pistons. They really feeling that. They got the Isaiah Stewart, right? Real Jamaican man, you know what I mean?
What's the name? Detroit is a gritty city, like, bro.
I love it.
All their teams have kind of been like held their identity of like that grit, like.
Detroit is dead ass out the mud, bro.
I believe you. I've never been, but I just
buffs and buckets.
Bro, he said buffs and buckets. You fly for that one, but yeah, nah, bro. Like I say, they're a real good team, bro. Like their come up, I feel like it's been really good for basketball. I wish they've gotten more love during the season, but you know, people talk about the same couple teams every day, but. Nah, bro, their come up has been something really good, especially with, you know, Bickerstaff over there, a really passionate coach, was with the Magic, but, you know, well, no, he was with Cleveland. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was with Cleveland, my fault. and kind of just turning that program around. But he kind of fits their team better than I feel like Cleveland. He fits Cleveland, though. Kenny got them boys rolling in Cleveland for sure. But
You do.
Yeah, but I feel like JB fits his style of play, his style of, you know, coaching fits Pistons. Yeah, it fits the Pistons best. But
yeah, that poses an interesting question, though. I feel like we've talked about it before on the pod, but just real quick, you don't got to take too much time on it. They have a singular star, you know, just one.
Yeah,
they don't have a co-star. There's no co-star there. There's no big two. There's no big three. There's no other guy. It's just one dude, bro. One dude and a team of role players, a team of gritty, hard role players. But they got 43 wins and they're a sixth seed in the East and clinched the playoff spot. What do you make of that? Like, is that anything? Is there anything in that?
No, it's a lot into that, bro. And I feel like that's just kind of just more of a microcosm of, to be honest, not only the new CBA, but kind of just the landscape of how teams are being built in the modern NBA. I feel like, and I had mentioned to this to Curb the other day when we were talking about the Suns, but I feel like the model of big threes and super teams and getting these stars together with complementary role, decent role players, I feel like that's out the window, bro. I feel like you have to have a deep team now. You have to have a roster at least maybe 6 through 9 who can play ball, who can create, get shots, make shots. And of course, you gotta have that star. You always gotta have the star. It's an NBA, so it's always gonna be about stars. But I just feel like roster construction is very important in this stage of where the NBA is.
100%.
Which is why you see all these teams still like. Like, if you look, like, there's not too many dominant teams other than the ones that we usually name, which is probably OKC and Cleveland, and then Boston, I guess. But there's no dominant team. They're really, like, dominant outright, like, teams how they used to be, you know? And yeah. I feel like that's because of that, you know? Those teams are built deep now, you know? And like you saying, Cade, he kind of has that Luka Harden factor to where he's like a jumbo creator. Like, he can do a lot for your offense with the ball in his hands, but it's not heliocentric, if you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's not a ball stopper, but he can do a lot for your, he can be the main engine for your offense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. He brings other guys in. Like, he has that time where he flips the switch and it's K time, but at the same time, he looks for his teammates. You know what I mean? Like,
It's not just looking for you, not even coach y'all, but I said it's not even looking for your teammates, because I feel like Harden and Luka, those boys look for their teammates. But he plays really good off the ball too. Like, he has a really good catch and shoot, plays off DHOs real good. Like, he doesn't hold the ball for very long, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, nah. So that was a good point that you brought up though, because I feel like, shoot, even in the playoffs, that's gonna be a good, you know what I'm saying, point. I'm really intrigued on how the Pacers play though, because they've been playing really good ball lately too.
No, yeah,
they've been eight on their last two games. And they're on a 4-game winning streak, so they've been playing really good basketball too.
Yeah,
let's see if they lose to the Wizards tonight. But
that's facts.
But yeah, man. So,
take me to the West.
I was gonna say, I ain't know how long you want to be on the East Coast. You know, we're gonna go where it's sunny at. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna go to the Western Conference, see what them boys talking about. The Thunder, being the Thunder. 64-14 on the season. Currently beating the Lakers right now, trying to get it back in blood for their last game they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God, 80-72 at halftime. Jesus Christ.
Good game.
Yeah, no.
It's third quarter. It's third quarter.
But still, the score was 80-72 at halftime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Third quarter just started. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's kind of nasty. But, but yeah, what's the name? Yeah, Oklahoma's still leading the pack. You know, how about them Rockets? You know, they doing their thing, man. Got a comfortable second seed lead, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Ime for turning them around. They also ate in their last 3-game winning streak. Let's see how they do. 12 of the last 15. Poof. So they catching steam. Remember we were talking about earlier, they catching steam at the right time. Yeah. But Phil, check me out. Would you believe me if I tell you that 3 through 8 have not clinched the playoffs in the West yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now and it kind of shocked me. Like, we looked at, bro, it's not even 3 through 8. It's 3 through 11.
Suns is officially out.
Nah, they're not officially out. They're not eliminated. No, I'm looking at it right now.
I seen that are officially out. Because
I think they can still make a play in.
No, they can't, bro. How many games they can left?
Bro, they're only 3 games behind the Mavs.
They got 3 games left, brother.
Exactly.
They're not finna They're out,
bro. I think they out, but no, there's four games left.
Okay, yeah, I just see four.
And one of them is against the Kings. And the Kings are awesome. Four games ahead of them.
Right. Well, it can go either way because
bro, they're not making it, but they're not eliminated yet. Yeah, they're on a 6-game losing streak.
Bro, they're eliminated, bro. And KD's not probably gonna come back. They're eliminated, bro. But I get what you're saying though. They're definitely very disappointment with what he said. Oh, but what's his name? So yeah, nah, the West. Bro, the Clippers, the Warriors, Timberwolves, and Grizzlies all have 46 wins. That's kind of crazy. But interesting enough, out of all the teams, Warriors has the tiebreaker with a lot of them. So that can kind of be an interesting caveat to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, just from your opinion, we know how deep the West is. To be honest, bro, depending on matchups, I could see a world where 1-8 all can make it to the conference finals. Like one through eight have an opportunity to go to the conference finals, in my opinion. Maybe not as much as the Grizzlies.
One through the current eight?
Yeah, one through the current eight. Okay, but I don't think the Kings or Mavericks got a chance just based off where they are. Obviously they can still make the AC, but like just 1-8 have like good cases depending on, it's all based on matchups, bro. Like I don't think I've ever seen the West like kind of like this before.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, just from your opinion, like I mentioned in the East, like out of these first round teams, you know, what's like a matchup that kind of strikes you, or just how you just feel about the West in general this year?
Bro, the West is a mess. It's a beautiful mess. It's a beautiful mess. Let me tell you why. Because let me tell you why. I ain't even gonna talk about OKC. I ain't gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about everything else. OKC has separated themselves from the pack. We'll see if that continues in the playoffs. I don't think it will, but that's all I say about them. The Rockets. Nobody had the Rockets winning 50 games this year, right?
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Brother, nobody.
I'm just playing. Nobody. Maybe not else. Second seed. I'm not gonna say second seed. I definitely knew there was gonna be a playoff team, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody had them as, you know, in that top eight, but not being one of two teams to clinch this late in the season in the West. Right, like that's, you know, that's different. That's different. Yeah. So props to them. But at the same time, despite their regular season success, and we know what type of team they can play, it's almost a mirror of their college counterpart. Right, you know, they're gonna play gritty defense, but do they have enough? You know, when the going gets tough, right? Can Jalen Green? Can Sengun? Right, like I'm about to say Fred VanVleet. You know what I mean? Like, not a knock on Fred VanVleet, but
no, but I get it though. Yeah.
That I'm about to say on these other teams that he just doesn't match up to.
It's not Bron and Luka. It's not Murray and Yoke. It's not
Curry.
Kawhi. You know, I get it.
You know what I mean? Butler. Like, so at the end of the day, we know.
Anna Randall.
No, I can't. You can't say Ant. Nobody is Ant. It's just Ant, bro.
He's been playing decent, but I feel you though. I'm just talking.
Terrorist. But you get what I mean though. Like what we know, bro. We know stories are made about the playoffs, right? Legacies are made or earned or destroyed in the playoffs. You know what I mean? James Harden, he's been getting a lot of good PR recently, but at the same time, right, he has one finals trip in his entire career. And when he was the guy putting up 50 in the regular season, you know what I mean? Like going crazy in the regular season, he just didn't replicate that in the playoffs. Is that all his fault? No. But at the same time, that's how things will be seen. That's how things will be viewed. These are James Harden-led teams that couldn't get over the hump. So that's what I mean, right? Can the Rockets, what are the Rockets going to do in the playoffs? What type of noise are they going to make? But then we look past them and we got the Lakers, who I don't think people are giving them enough credit for the season that they're having. And I say that with a grain of salt because they do have LeBron James and they traded for Luka Doncic, so they should have a good season. But at the same time, they have a first-year head coach in JJ Redick, who has never been a head coach before. So they don't have established coaching, you know, coaching resume that was in charge of this team. Like that, bro, their head coach is barely older than the oldest player, which is insane. So
that is crazy.
That's like, bro, JJ Redick was on a podcast last season. You know what I mean? So that's interesting, right? So seeing what LeBron and Luka could do in the playoffs is going to be fun. And then we get to Denver, who just fired their coach. We'll get into that a bit more, but
they fired their coach,
but that's still Jokic. That man would still give you 40, 15, and 17 for no reason. Right, so that's gonna be fun to see. But then the Clippers. That is the team I'm most interested in.
That's the most interesting team.
I'm glad you said that, brother. That's the team I'm most interested in because
they've been hoping lately.
Yeah, brother, they're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're on a 4-game winning streak. But what I want to say is, we know what Kawhi. Yeah, and Kawhi, they've been resting that boy. That way he don't play back to backs. He skip every third game or something. I'm just saying that. I don't know if that's the real number, but like he's been rested. He's been playing a bit more recently, like as we wind down the season. But assuming he stays healthy the entire playoffs, like what is that? Like, what does that look like? You know what I mean? Like, what? And especially if they play Denver first round, I can't tell you who I'm gonna pick. Because Zubac can bang. He ain't going to stop Jokic, but he can bang with him. I don't think Jokic can stop Zubac. Be so real with you. That might sound crazy, but if you don't know, go check Zubac's stats. Go check his numbers. Yeah,
no, Zubac been hooping this year on offense and defense. He's been playing really good ball on both ends. Yeah. He got a case for all defensive team this year, low-key.
You sure do.
But that's the only thing, though. Like you mentioned a good point. Like, Zubac's their only center. I feel like that would be a lot on him on that series, especially with them. Even though with Jokic, I'm pretty sure he's still going to be the focal point of the offense, but even without a new coach. But like, that's an interesting thing to me, too, because Clippers, they're real ISO heavy, but they're efficiently ISO because they have two of not some of the most efficient ISO players in James Harden and Kawhi. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that matchup could actually kind of pose not as good for Denver, especially when you got Jamal Murray on the perimeter guarding a la James Harden. I ain't gonna lie, I think that's kind of food. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I'm glad you brought it up because Clippers, I'm real interested on how the Clippers can do. And what do you do? Timberwolves actually been playing pretty good ball lately too. They won 5-game winning streak.
7-3 in their last 10.
Offense has gotten a lot better too.
It has. Surprising. You know why?
Why?
You know why? Bro, they've been incorporating Rudy Gobert. That sounds crazy. Right? I feel like when Rel listen to this, he gonna get mad. Like, what do I mean he didn't incorporate Rudy Gobert? But dog, I promise you, in the beginning of the season, they wasn't passing him the ball. Now, that man would finish games with 5 shots. You know?
Yeah,
no. Last game he put up 23-19. He had 11 shots.
Yeah, dog, right?
Julius Randle ain't taking 20 shots no more.
Right.
You know,
actually been playmaking that, a lot. He's been playmaking a lot.
Exactly, bro. That's what I'm saying. The game before that, Rudy Gobert, 21-18 on 10 shots, right? And he took 6 free throws, so he took more than 10 shots. But against the Nuggets, they won a double overtime, 19-12 on 11 shots, and they went through the line 9 times.
All right.
Right. You know, let's go one more. 19-25 against the Pistons. They won by 20. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? They've been passing bro the ball. So, I remember that shot he hit last year against Yoke, that turnaround fadeaway jumper. I'm not saying Rudy Gobert is going to be the difference maker. All I'm saying is they're not ignoring the paint.
Mm-hmm. No, I dig that. Now, that's a good point. I mean, like you say, having an inside presence, I mean, let's be real, it's not a lot of centers. Are real centers a lot nowadays. This day, a lot of them are stretch five. So him playing like a real center, having that paper, that helps to me. I feel like that opens up the rest of their offense, because when you have a slasher like Ant, who's been shooting at a crazy clip from three this year. I just seen he was the youngest player to make 300 threes this season, which is insane. So I feel like that's opened up their spacing playing with Gobert down low a little bit. That's definitely helped their offense, like you said. So that's actually a really good point. But you know, with them, it's just kind of just more so, like, are they gonna have, if Randle gonna be able to be efficient in the playoffs, and is Ant gonna be able to be consistent enough to make the right reads? Because he's gonna get double. I know he said he don't like double teams, but he's gonna get double. So that's gonna be kind of like the thing for them. I mean, as of right now, they'll play the Rockets. I feel like tough for them, but it could be a bad matchup for the Rockets. So it's interesting. That's gonna be like a, I mean, it's gonna be like a 90-85 scoring like series. Like that's gonna be like a series that's like down to like the wire, chippy team.
And just to get back, just to roll back into it, what I was saying earlier about those guys that you got at the end, bro. If it comes down to a bucket or two at the end of the game, bro, I'm picking Anthony Edwards over anybody on the Rockets. You know what I'm saying? So
I wouldn't be mad at you.
Yeah, but
I
feel like he proved it. Yeah, he showed me. He showed me that last year.
I wouldn't be mad at you about that. And but I think, and going back to the Rockets points real quick, before I could talk about other teams quickly, I feel like the Rockets, of all the teams in the West, maybe them and OKC, I feel like their team, they're both two teams that have a real identity. Like they're gonna play defense, they're gonna grab offensive rebounds, and they're gonna muck up the game. Like I just saw it today too. Oh, let me see if I can pull it. Oh yeah. They average 14.8 offensive rebounds a game, is the most for a team from the past of 20 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they, I feel like they have an identity and they can hang their hat on. So their floor is a lot higher than a lot of people's ceiling, if that makes sense. Because they know they're like, they don't get blown out a lot. Like Houston rarely gets blown out. They don't really get blown out because they got, because basically they go into their games knowing exactly what they're going to do. I feel like Lakers up and down, Nuggets up and down, depending on the shooting, Warriors, Timberwolves. But I feel like the Rockets and the Thunder are the two teams, they kind of like have a subset of what they're going to go into a basketball game doing, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah. I just want to talk about this matchup too very quickly. So, Lakers and Warriors.
Talk to me.
I'm interested about that one. Because last time they played, Luka played, I don't even think I can come up with a word for that. But I could see the Warriors being a bad matchup for the Lakers. Am I wrong for thinking that?
Bro, I could see the Warriors being a bad matchup for a lot of teams, bro. Like, adding Jimmy Butler gave them an element they haven't had in a long time. Somebody who can get to the free throw line consistently, right? That we just talked about in and out, right? That inside game, they didn't have that. They didn't have that pressure for a while. Yep. Mm-mm. Like, they didn't have somebody that required attention on the inside, you know what I mean? Like,
I want to say they never had, because KD got to the cup, but he was more so like mid-range, like he'll get to his spot.
He could play mid-range. He could play within the three-point line, right? I remember when they had David West, he could play within the three-point line. They had Sean Livingston, he could play.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is inside the three-point line, right?
The
last couple of years in particular, they've been lacking, right, somebody that the defense genuinely had to pay attention to. And now that they have that in Jimmy Butler, right? And he's not the guy, because I've never thought he was a guy, but that's a story for another day. But now that they have him where he can be the second option, right? That's taking pressure off Curry, because you know you're gonna focus on Curry, try to double team Curry. Jimmy can take the best of them to the hoop and get to the line every time. You know, so you gotta dedicate a solid defender on Jimmy, or you're gonna give him 20 points at the, you know, you're gonna give him 10 points at the line alone. So that's interesting, bro. It's interesting. And they have a guy by the name of Quentin Post, I believe his name is. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's a good big.
Quentin Post is good. He's a good big. He's a really good big. Like I said, I feel like that matchup can be interesting, especially like the perimeter game.
Yeah.
With because honestly, I'm gonna be real, I think Lakers can be okay offensively, but defensively, I don't know if I like the backcourt of Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic in the playoffs. I'm gonna be honest with you, especially in the West when you got guards like Shea, Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, Harden.
Yeah, we gonna see. That's what the Mavs traded him for, right? He don't play defense and he fat, so we gonna see.
Yeah, playoffs offensively, I think he's gonna be good, but I was. And, you know, you can't speak to certain of the boys about the Lakers, but I honestly do think that he's regressed a little bit, like, no trolling. Like, he does seem a tad bit slower. He doesn't drive to the basket as much as he used to. He takes a lot of jumpers now. Mm-hmm. He posts up still, but he takes a lot of jumpers, I feel like. He sells for a lot of jumpers, you know, and defense is going to be a defense, but I'm interested to see how that translates into the playoffs, you know, when you play a team like the Warriors. But Jimmy's definitely going to have to take more shots, though. He's definitely going to take more shots, because even the last game they just lost to the Rockets, like, Steph is getting in prison. He's in prison, but you taking like 7-8 shots. Nah, that's not gonna cut it, bro. I know you like to be casual in the regular season, but playoffs around the corner, you're gonna have to help that boy Wardell out.
Yeah, no, I think about it, but as we speak live and direct, the Lakers are up 6 points on OKC. So they're currently, it's 24-10 points in the third quarter. Lakers 24, OKC 10 points in the third. Luka at 21, Bron got 19. So that's interesting. I'll see how that game finishes out. But I agree with you. But at the same time, a nice counter to that is that Bro did make it to the finals.
Yeah. So he's been there. He's been around the block.
Yeah. So
yeah,
It is interesting. But
like I said, it's a lot of interesting matchups, bro. Like I said, either way, like I say, I feel like each team has a case to get to the conference finals depending on the matchup.
Yeah, but how you feel about, we kind of touched on Memphis and Golden State a bit. How you feel about Memphis, right? They also just lost their coach.
Yeah, we definitely gotta talk about that.
And Ja been in the media a lot more recently.
Back in effect, Ja Wick.
Back in effect, man. John Wick himself, right? James Wick. James, I said that wrong. But anyway, you get what I mean. What is he doing? You know, like, what are Memphis doing? Like, what do they have? Can they do anything in the playoffs? Can they get a good matchup somewhere? They play OKC round one. Is that a sweep?
It's tough to say, bro. Because, I don't like the coach firing thing. That's a very interesting thing that happened. I don't think we've seen that too much happen before. But yeah. Honestly, I don't know, bro. Because I don't think that they have anybody who really can guard Shea. So I think that's a series that Shea just goes ballistic. Like, I'm beyond it with you. So that's intriguing. But then again, I've seen Ja rise in the playoffs and come up in big moments. So I wouldn't count them out as far as that. I think it'll probably be a tough sweep or a tough 4-1. I wouldn't say sweep. I like Ja to get a game. I'll say a tough 5-game series. Yeah, tough 5-game. I don't think they have a chance to be OKC, but I definitely think it'll be a tough 5-game series, to be honest, depending on how it shapes up. I think the only matchup that, realistically looking at the standings, that the Thunder could struggle with in the first round, it's going to sound weird, but I think the Timberwolves would be a good matchup for them first round. I don't know if you remember, they beat them the last game they played, but I just feel like how physical they play, I feel like they can match them like from a physical standpoint or perimeter standpoint. And, you know, Rudy can kind of nullify a lot of the stuff that Chet can do as far as like interior defense. So I think that could be a matchup that can really give, like, if I were to pick a team that can obviously maybe not upset, but like give Thunder some problems, I'll probably say the Timberwolves.
Yeah, okay.
That's, if they end up being the eighth, like I said, it depends on how things shape up. But
that's interesting. That's real interesting. To work our way, I agree with you, by the way. I don't think the Memphis can go far, especially not with an interim head coach. To go further down that playing line, the Kings, Zach LaVine done dropped 80 points in his last two games against the Cavs and the Pistons. Mm-hmm. What can they do? Can they make it out the play-in at 9 seed right now?
No.
They're not making it out the play-in. They can't sneak in.
I'm sorry for not giving a big analysis on that one, but no, bro. I mean, no. I tried, but no. It's just like, bro, they just don't have enough, bro. They don't have enough, bro.
Nah, like, I'm budget.
Like, bro, we've seen this movie before, bro. We forgot LaVine and DeRozan were teammates before. Like, we've seen this movie before. Like,
we have. But I will say, against the Cavs, LaVine had 37, DeRozan had 28, and Sabonis gave him 27. Like, the boy's gonna get buckets, but their bench put up 10 points.
That's like I say, they got a lineup who can get buckets. Sabonis, Monk, Rose.
They put Monk to the bench.
Oh, he's on the bench. So Keon Ellis is starting.
Yeah,
which is crazy because I feel like they would have done a lot better early on if he did start. But that's just another story for another day. But yeah, bro, I just don't feel like they have enough from, like, other than Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis is probably their best defender, and he's like a really good defender, but he's not like gonna.
Bro, he took two shots last game.
Yeah, nah, he's kind of not gonna be enough for like an OKC. You know, but shout out to the Kings. I mean, maybe next year if they retool and then kind of just get things more in place, like, they got a chance. But no, bro, they give up too many points. Their defense is not good. So
okay, Yeah, nah, I'm agreeing with you. I just wanted to see. All right.
Nah, I'm talking about Mavericks. That. You gonna ask about Mavericks? You gonna ask about Mavericks? Or you gonna just leave it at the Kings?
Bro, I'm asking about the Mavs, bro. Eight playing games, bro. What they doing?
See you nasty, because how you gonna ask about the flipping Kings, but you ain't gonna ask about the Mavs? You funny,
I'm asking about the Mavs, bro. What's going on, bro? What's going on with the Mavs, bro? Do they have a shot to see again the 8 seed? Tell the truth.
I'm gonna be real with you, bro. I need to see the Lakers game tomorrow, and I'll have a better answer for you. Because I'm gonna be honest.
Brother.
No, listen, when AD plays, they're 6-2.
Bro, AD only played in them 6-2 games.
That's why I said when he played, so he's been playing. So I have to see how they play against the Lakers to kind of because their defense is OD. Like, their defense is like top notch. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It's just the offense is just like, yeah. But no, Kyrie is like, eh. But yeah. I don't know, man. They can. Are you okay? So look, if you're asking me, can they beat the Grizzlies?
Bro, they just played the Clips and lost by a 30 ball.
Did they?
Yeah,
Kawhi. Yeah, they did. I think Zoo went for 11 for 11.
11, bro. Why? I didn't even know, bro. Hey, when I say earlier in the pod, if you don't know about Zubac, right? You heard it here on the podcast. Go, you know, check out Zubac. Go watch some tape.
We was on Zoo early.
Hell yeah, we was on Zoo early. I don't know if you remember last year.
Episode 2. Tell him stop playing with us.
Exactly. I don't know if you remember last year when I was talking to you and I was saying, I don't know why Ty Lue doesn't play Zoo. He'd be subbing him out for at the time it was, what's that white boy name, bro? It's a white big and he know how to pass. Mason Plumlee.
Mason Plumlee, yeah, they did have
Mason Plumlee and Daniel Tice, I think his name was. They was subbing him out for him, and I'm like, Zubac is a baller. I need to play that man. Right. I don't stop trying to match up with these small ball teams to make them match up to Zoo. And they finally doing that.
They still have Pandemic P and stuff like
that. Oh, that's so why. They have poison. Yeah. They had terrorism on the team. Yo, it makes sense.
So his minutes, like, you know, there was, you know, Ty Lue was he was on his Steve Kerr tip. He was on his small ball tip. So it was kind of hard to kind of balance that out. So, yeah. But yeah, nah, I agree. I feel like Norm, a boy up. Powerball said it, man. Addition by subtraction, man. They let Paul go, let Russ go.
Yeah.
And they offense just started flowing. I mean, obviously, as much as, you know, we have our feelings about James Harden, he's one of the best playmakers the game's ever seen. I gotta tip my hat to him when it comes to that. So, like, when he has the ball in his hands, nine times out of ten, good things gonna happen. But now, he doesn't have to worry about closing because he has Kiwi. So, mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be that focal point guy to, you know, lead you to the promised land when you got one of the best closers in basketball, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it worked out, bro. Like, I think, like I say, their team is a lot. Like, we've been singing their praises since the beginning of the season. Like, Chris Dunn has been amazing. If he played more minutes, he probably would have made an all defensive team. He's been strapped. Yeah. He's been playing good. The Bogey edition was a very slept on edition. Very slept on. Bogdanovich.
I'm bugging. Yeah.
Very slept on edition, I'm not even gonna lie. And they can still probably play small ball 5, even though I don't want Ben Simmons nowhere near the court in the playoffs, but like, they can still definitely play small ball 5.
Ben Simmons, man, you know, plus minus Ken, plus 8 last game.
Yeah, hey, come on. Derrick Jones has been playing 4s and 3s. Like, I'm telling you, bro, their team is really good, bro. They got a really good team, bro.
Hey, bro, I ain't saying nothing too much, bro. I'm just...
Batum, 56 and still playing minutes in the playoffs.
Hey, man, you know the lyric, bro. Fourth quarter.
Wild Batum and shout out to Blue Bucks. That's fun. But, nah, that's wild. Yeah. But, nah, shout out to the Clippers, though. Yeah, man, the West, like I said, is going to be interesting. Like I say, that 4 through 8 is gonna be interesting. We could talk about, I guess, one team real quick before we check away. But the Nuggets firing, actually today, as Phil alluded to, we are recording on Tuesday, April 8th. As of today, the Nuggets fired Mike Malone as their head coach with a whopping 3 games left into the season. So, Philly Cheese, how do you feel about this firing, brother?
Bro, it's stupidity at its finest.
GM as well. Calvin Booth, he's implying he's on Indeed as well.
Yeah, no, like I seen that tweet. I think, you know, I sent it in the chat that they apparently had, they were butting heads, you know, the head coach and the GM, and ownership just got tired of it and said, get out. But I just don't understand doing that right before the playoffs. Like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? This man, mind you, right? And I'm gonna say it one more time. Mind you, this is a team that's 2 years removed from a championship. Is it 2 years? Yeah, they won 2 years ago, right? 2 years removed.
22 months ago.
From a championship, right? It wasn't like they won it 10 years ago and Jokic in his twilight years, right? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and you still got arguably the best player on the planet at the moment on your roster, still playing like arguably the best player on the planet. 2 years removed from a championship, and you fire the head coach that led you to that championship. And he didn't coast. He didn't coast, right? He didn't coast. He was an adjustment king in the playoffs, in my opinion.
He was.
And they fired him. And it, but like, if you have a coach and a GM button head, you get, and the coach is the GM, is the championship winning coach, you fired the GM. Like, what are you doing, bro? I don't think Jokic is that type of guy that'll just up and leave. Because of things like this.
European players are very, just kind of just based on how they were brought up, like, they're very, like, kind of like, they're not as, like, egotistical when it comes to things.
Yeah, like, I honestly think he'll vibe, right? I know he done built a nice little home for himself in Denver, even though in the offseason he going straight back to Slovenia. But I know he comfortable, right? I know he comfortable in Denver, so I don't think he's going to, like, I seen people saying he want to go to the Lakers, right? I honestly don't think that's happening, right? I don't think he wants to move to a big market and have all those cameras in his face and have all the extra media attention
on him. It's like, a perfect place for him. Perfect place for him, for sure.
You know what I mean? So I think he likes Denver. I think he likes the small market. And I think he likes the fact that he already got an MVP and a championship. You know what I mean? So, but it's not impossible that this rubs him the wrong way, right? It's not impossible that he decides, like, you know what? You know, I'm in my 30s. I really don't care about the NBA that much. I'm not playing until I'm 40. Like, Bron, I'll play two more years. Why not go play one with Luka? You know, why not go play two with Luka? Right? Like, not to say this man's going to retire soon. I don't know what he'd be thinking. I'm just saying, you know, like, this could cause you to lose your franchise player.
Because I'm trying to think, like, do you honestly think that they told him that they were going to? Because keep in mind, Mike Malone has been his coach his entire time in the NBA. Jokic is on, how many years has he been in the NBA?
A minute. let me see.
9 years, maybe? 8, 9 years?
One, drafted two, in 2015. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. This is his 10th season.
This season right here is his 10th.
Yeah.
So he's been in the NBA 10 years, and he's only known one head coach. He's been over there to Slovenia, been in his home, met his family. So, like, I'm just very curious, on why. Do you think it was because I kind of did a little research, because, like I said, it was very puzzling to me. And basically, the last couple of interviews, Mike Malone's kind of been having the same sentiment to the team. He's been kind of just saying how they haven't been putting in effort on defense. Yeah, I've been trying, and I don't know if you saw the clip that I put in the chat earlier this afternoon, but he was kind of alluding to some people not watching film either, like certain players and things like that. So in a way, he said it was kind of very vague and blunt, but, you know, that's Mike Malone, you know how he is. So, like, I don't know, like, do you think it's a situation to where he lost the locker room, like, and the kind of people kind of just wasn't really hearing him like that no more?
I don't know, that's just hard to imagine. Like, going back to what I just said, that they just won a championship.
But you know, bro, it's crazy. And I guess I will give NFL credit when it comes, like, with that. Like, if you win a Super Bowl in the NFL, well, you got the longest leash in the world. It seems like when you win in the NBA, it's like you get a shorter leash. It's, like, kind of crazy when you think about it.
It's you know, as they say, it's the jokes that we make, right? That NBA players are drama queens, right?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if it's that type of situation, but...
Because it wouldn't be Yoke, like I said. Like I said, we do see he's disgruntled at times about struggling and things like that. But, like, I don't think it's a situation to where he's asking, especially 3 games before the playoffs, bro. Like, I feel like that's what's, like, the weirdest part.
They've had worse seasons, you know what I mean? Like, like, this is not the first time Jokic struggled in his career. It's not the first time they, like, bro, they just won a chip, bro. They didn't win a chip, like I said, 7 years ago. You know,
yeah, it's not like a Giannis situation. It's not even like a Giannis situation to where it's like, okay, he didn't want to chip after the bubble. You can think,
oh, right, Giannis on his third coach, you know, so
yeah,
that's different, right? And they team is quite literally in shambles. So yeah, that one's a bit different, and we know how Giannis is. But this is just, it just, man, with situations like this, it has to be things behind closed doors. Is my saying?
Yeah,
my
I opinion. Agree. Same with Memphis. Odd. It's very odd, bro. I think this year's had some of the oddest in-season general managing moves I've probably ever seen. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, has there been, bro, any?
He just made me remember the Luka trade,
bro. Like, this season's been some very different GMing. Like, well, I don't even know if I want to call it GMing because the GM got fired.
Bro, so they, been some they're very, playing 2K.
Nah, they're playing my GM for my league. Cause like, this is,
hey man, stop like hiring accountants.
I agree, bro. Because like, this is ridiculous.
Hey, we need to wrap this up, man. I want to watch this Lakers game.
Oh yeah, nah, for sure. We gonna wrap it up soon. But yeah, like, that's how puzzled I am, because I'm trying to think of things to say really about it. But yeah, I mean, they still got the best player in the world. They still gonna do their thing. So we gotta see, bro. We gotta see how it plays out. Probably gonna have the interim coach come in. I mean, probably we gonna see, man. Thing. Yeah, but the playoffs is here. I'm locked in. I'm loaded. I'm ready to see how things play out. So we're going to see, man. Excited.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Trust. I do want to have one question, though, that we got in from our good friend Hansito. Hanzo. Hans.
Shout out to Hansito.
The Disney guy. He had a question that I alluded to earlier that I wanted us to answer real quick before we shake and bake. We've had a few years of the plan. What are the good and bad things, and should the plan stay? You first.
So what year is it in the plan now? We're on year 4 or 5?
Something like that, yeah. Let me see. What year?
I think it started in 2021. I want to say it started in 2021, didn't it?
Introduced to the 2021 season, yep.
Yeah, so 2021.
2020 to 2021. That's
yeah. So like I say, I feel like that's a very interesting. It's very interesting. I do kind of agree now at this point in the stage we're in, it kind of does reward losing a little bit. Because let's face it, like the teams that always end up, like, I seen a joke on Twitter, and it was saying how one thing is for sure, two for certain. The Hawks, Heat, and Bulls is going to be in the play-in.
100%.
Like that's literally happened the last 3 years, so it's like I don't know, bro. It was very interesting. Like I don't,
and no team, no 9th or 10th seed has yet to win the play-in. Like they have yet to claim, like fight their way up from 9th and 10th to hit 8. Yeah, it's always 7 and 8 makes it every single time.
Didn't that one year the Pelicans, weren't they like the 9th and they ended up getting to 8?
Nah, no. Let me. I could check, but. What are you talking about?
That was the year that they played OKC in the first round. So actually last year. Was it last year?
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah. NBA yeah, because yeah.
Standing.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn that the Pelicans was the 9th seed.
It was the 9th seed. But no. No. Can't be. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong year. I'm looking at the wrong year. It was the AC.
It was the AC? Okay, I was wrong again. I could have sworn
The Lakers beat them first, and then they beat the Kings.
Okay, got it. So the Kings was the 9th seed.
The Kings was the 9th seed, yep.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, I feel like at this stage, yeah, it doesn't really do anything. Like I say, it's just an extra game, making people just come out to play just one extra game. Like I said, I was okay with the idea at first because we see how talented the league is, but like you say, it hasn't really substantially changed anything as far as seeding. So, I mean, I do think it lights a fire in the players to kind of not want to be in the play-in. So I guess maybe if you were a fan of that, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's still too early to say get rid of it. You know,
I say get rid, bro. Basketball was good without it, and I don't think it's been better with it. Honestly,
I agree. I could agree with that sentiment. It hasn't really changed. Like the like I say, maybe anything. Maybe the urgency, like if you don't want to be in the play-in, but like to be fair, like if you're in that array of teams in that spot, yeah, if you're gonna feel that anyway. So
if I had especially to give it a positive, right? If I had to give it a positive, right? We know once you get to the last 10 or so games, I think Melo was just talking about it on their pod, whatever pod that was. But Melo and them boys were just talking about it. I think it was Melo.
Brooklyn 5-1.
I think it was Kevin with KG. I think it was with KG, no?
Oh, you said Carmelo.
Yeah, it was Melo. He wasn't with KG. Maybe it was a different pod. I don't know. But I seen him talking about it. And basically what he was saying is that once you get to the end of the season, right, the good teams will kind of like, you know, the playoff teams will kind of coast a little bit, and the bad teams will check out. You know, they're not playing no more. They have no reason to play. But so what the plan does is stretches that list of teams that will still try to play hard and win games. So if I give it like at 9th and 10th seed, bro, if they were five games, like the Kings, for example, right now, they're 7 games back of 8th seed, right? At this point in time, their season would be over, right? They're not making the playoffs. It's over for them because there's only 4 games left, right? So they can't make the 8th seed. But now that the play-in is a thing, if they lose their next 4 games and the Suns win their next 4 games, they'd be out the play-in and the Suns would be in the play-in, right? So they don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, so it stretches the window of good basketball, or not good basketball, but hard playing basketball. It stretches it a bit, gives us more teams that will still try every night, still play their guys because they want to at least make the play-in and give themselves a chance at the playoffs. So that's the only positive, but at the same time, it's a useless positive. Because it doesn't have any impact on the playoffs.
Right.
So far.
I definitely dig that. Like I say, I mean, not to really go back to the West playoffs though, but now that you mention it, I can see a world where the Kings beat the Memphis if that seeding stays the same. I can see a world where that happens.
It'll be funny, bro. That's all I'll say.
It would be
like the beam, man. Like the beam.
You know, we still lighting the beam. It's just been a little dim lately. But yeah, I get you saying though. Like you say, give the teams that are at the bottom more of an incentive to kind of go out who play. Like yeah. I say, man, it's kind of just more so just like a thing of like I give it a couple more years, kind of see how the talent shapes up around the bottom of the playoffs and see how that changes anything. If we get 2 or 3 more play-ins of the Heat, Bulls, and the Hawks, then we might need to make some changes. But we got to see. I'll still hold off on it.
Bro, it's going to be the exact same list but playing teams next year, bro. I'll tell you right now.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. Philly might be different. The Raps might be different with B.I. Who knows what Cooper Flagg do to the Hornets or the Wizards. But the Hawks still gonna be the Hawks, bro. That team not changing. The Heat is gonna be mid. I can see Detroit falling into the play-in and Magic making the playoff spot instead. I could see that happening.
I think Detroit get better next year.
It depends on what their GMs do. I'll tell you what, right now, I'm a big Detroit fan. I love K, man. K my boy, you know that. But the rest of them guys, they're not getting any better, bro. They peaked. This is it. So they would need to bring in people. Or maybe the twin will get better, but they would need to bring in someone else.
And you know, Ivy, he been hurt.
I don't want to hear nothing about Jaden Ivy, bro. I'm so real.
And you off Ivy?
Ivy straight, bro. I think he's a good guard, but like good is a strong word. He a decent guard, but he not
too often though. That based on that response, you're often.
Yeah, I don't think that's a needle mover in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it moves it backwards or forwards. He's neutral impact, in my opinion.
He said neutral impact. I ain't gonna lie, they look, he got a little bit better with him out of the lineup. I don't want to say that.
I'm
not trying to be gross. I respect the young brother.
All I'm saying is, bro, I love the fact that K is the only star and he's doing it. But to win in this league, you need star power. You need another one.
Not if star power, serious, you need one more.
Yeah, they don't need no big three, bro. Big three's overrated. They just need another guy. Another guy. Right. Don't got to be on the same level as Cade, but someone else that can, you know, take the load.
Street saying that if Suns don't work out and they blow the team up, book to Detroit sounds like a reasonable thing. Back home in Michigan.
That boy from Detroit?
Not Detroit. I think he's from like outside Detroit.
Oh, no cap. Book to Detroit will move a needle. I ain't gonna cap you because Because that boy, I'll tell you right now,
he could play really good, and he could play real shooting guard.
I'll tell you right now, he is not a point guard. He is not a point guard, right? When Book came in the league, he played that too, especially when they had Isaiah Thomas over there. And yeah,
Bledsoe,
bro, they had real guards. And this nigga was off. That's when he dropped 70, bro. He didn't drop 70 as no point guard. He dropped 70 when he could come off that screen, that weak side screen, take the ball, and pull up in your face. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah, he needs to play his regular position again.
Him next to Cade, bro? What you gonna do? Double him? Oh, nah, you crazy.
That's kind of a sick. Oh my god, that's kind of a sick duo.
You crazy, boy. I don't care what they have to give up. As long as they don't give up Durant. Because I think he'd be a perfect lob threat in that environment, right? Yeah,
the space is good as well.
Go get Book, bro. I don't care what they got to give up.
I don't think they really got assets to get him, though, do they?
They got the twin. You'll
have to, you'll have to give up the twin.
The twin, Ron Hollett, Ivy.
Twin has the potential to be a great perimeter.
But the Suns might feel like they need to reset. So they might be down as long as the Pistons throw some picks.
Yeah, they're gonna have to throw picks. I ain't gonna lie, they might have to come off the twin, even though I feel like the twin is vital to what they do.
I think so too. I would not want to come off the twin, but for Book to play next to Cade Buckingham, brother, buffs and buckets. You heard it here first.
That's real buffs and buckets. I'm not gonna lie. That's real buffs and buckets, bro.
Buffs and buckets, man. Hey, I might have to copyright that on the pod. That sound kind of I kind of go hard.
Or you better hurry up for a Little Caesars Arena. Go ahead and get on to you.
It sounds crazy. But I think that wraps us up, man. What you think?
Oh, no, bro. Great pod as per usual. Got some good hoop talking on both sides.
What episode is this?
This
not 10.
Are we on 1? Is it?
This not 10. Let me check, man. Is it? This not 10.
Oh, no.
We hit that with Disney. Bro, this 10. Y'all boys, we double digits.
Let's clap it up.
Let's clap it up, man. We double digits, y'all.
Nah. We got the 10 in.
We got the 10.
Like I said, definitely appreciate everybody who listens. You know, definitely about a part, you know, us kind of doing what we do. Like I said, just kind of just want to build from there. Have a fun. Chop it up with my boy Phil. But nah, like I said, definitely want to kind of build from here. Philly Cheese, what you got to say to double digits, man?
I'm just happy we hit 10. I'm looking forward to the next 10.
Of course, man. I might throw something on the grill.
Might have to throw something on the grill. It ain't even Brown birthday. Might have to throw something on the grill.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Lakers fans saying they was throwing something on the grill because what happened to the Nuggets today.
Yeah, they saying Russ a double agent.
Bro, that had me rolling, bro. I'm like, NBA Twitter is a different breed, bro. That's how
it is. But man, thank you guys for listening. Remember, check us out on Instagram, check us out on RSS, check us out Apple Podcasts, check us out on Spotify, check us out on YouTube. You know the vibes. We here, we ready to listen. See you guys in episode 11.
Yes, man. Appreciate y'all. You can keep up with y'all. You know, stay easy, stay solid, stay safe, stay prayed up. Yes, sir. We out.
Deuce.